And so, friends, following the liturgy of the word there from the first book of the Kings and also from the Gospel of Matthew, just a few thoughts. What drama we see here in the first book of Kings, the contest between King Ahab, married to Jezebel, King Ahab, who is considered scandalous by the Israelites, this king of Israel who's not following the God of Israel, who's decided to continue following the pagan gods, and particularly this pagan god Baal, thought by many to be this god of fertility. And so here we have the contest going on between the prophet Elijah and King Ahab. And Elijah challenges him to say, let's offer a bull each, a bull of sacrifice, and let's call down our god then, and whichever sacrifice burns, whichever sacrifice goes up in flames will be the proof that God is the true God. And so this was the sacrificial moment that broke the drought of the past few years, that Elijah had called on the region as his reaction to this unfaithful king. And in this drama where Elijah confronts 450 prophets of this pagan god Baal, thought to be the god of fertility and much revered, and Elijah's sacrifice of the bull, even though it was flooded with water, nevertheless it was the one that the fire consumed, and the proof of the truth of God was given there, and Elijah is seen to be the victor. What do we see in this reading? Well, there's lots of things, but the obvious ones are this radical trust, this enormous risk on God that this prophet Elijah is taking. They're against the natural forces of drought and of rain, and calling down the gods and waiting for natural phenomena to happen as the proof. I mean, just feel it. Just feel the risk and feel the trust in the imagery that's given in this powerful story. And then we see in the gospel, we see Jesus. We see Jesus as part of the Beatitudes, this sequence. He's just chapter 5 of the Gospel of Matthew, as we know, has these Beatitudes and these teachings of Jesus that are radical in themselves, countercultural. And just in the chapter before, this Jesus has said strange things like, come and follow me, he says to the disciples, follow me. This Jesus who claimed that in following me, in being in a relationship with me, you can come close into the heart of God, whereas that would have been seen as a scandal. The Jewish way, the way of the Israelites was the way of sacrifice, and it was the way of ritual, and it was the way of the religious observances. And here's this upstart comes along and wants to come to the heart of God through a personal relationship. And so we can see in a different mode, a different way, that Jesus there is also this radical. We see Elijah, the radical prophet, taking this enormous risk on God. And then we see Jesus, faithful Jew as well, and yet he is being radical too in sharing these teachings and these countercultural ways that are perceived by many even as being counter-religious. But this is the Jesus who calls people deeply into the heart of God. This is the Jesus who calls people to follow. And he says then, as he's challenged in this little passage from the Gospel of Matthew, he says, no, I haven't come to get rid of the law. I haven't come to get rid of the faith. I've come in faithfulness to that. And he stands up for the faith and for the religion. But he's trying, of course, to emphasize that the place of religion and the place of the faith is to serve the liberation of people in relationship with God. That was his whole commitment to his Jewish faith, was that the faith and the religion would serve the building of that relationship. And so Jesus comes along and shows a new type of faithfulness, a type of faithfulness that radically trusts God, the relationship with God. And so as we take these themes of what are two very different readings today, one from much earlier on from the first book of Kings, and then later in the Gospel of Matthew, two extremely different readings, and yet we can see there's a common theme coming through them both of radically trusting in the relationship with God. And so as we come into celebrate the Eucharist today, we do so as well in radical relationship with a God who accompanies us in life and offers us his true presence and grace and power, and offers for us to be channels of that grace and power for others and for the world. Let's take some moments now to pray some of those prayers of the faithful now. Perhaps the themes that are there in the blog post might help you to compose some of your own prayers. And then we'll bring the bread and wine to the altar. And as I said in the introduction, I will have the children with me from year six in the church, and we'll have them gathered around the altar. I'm going to give them a homily and a liturgy of the word with them present in the church, and then with the small video piece shortly of the Eucharistic prayer. Any people who are online today and the children who are present in the church will be able to unite together in a symbolic way through that live stream and video that we will put into the blog post. So go on now and enjoy some moments of reflection and prayer in your own prayer of the faithful. We unite very much with you from the church today, and we'll pray the Eucharistic prayer in just a few moments' time.